The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, January 23rd, 2017. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 137th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, The New Yorker ran a story on Shakespeare's World, a project on Zooniverse, a crowdsourcing platform, which is looking for users to help transcribe thousands of handwritten documents from Shakespeare's day. This will be a boon for current and future researchers. Reason.com ran a piece on the recent MLA, Modern Language Association, conference, noting that there were more sessions on concepts like environmental justice and post-colonialism than on Shakespeare. It's interesting, but the tone was a bit snarky and sadly dismissive of non-canon areas of research. Alibi.com ran a piece on the Take the Stage Design Competition, the winner of which will design the temporary art installation and performance space for this summer's Shakespeare on the Plaza in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Broadway World ran a story on the independent Shakespeare company's Iambic Lab, a series of readings, seminars, and classes running through February 25th in Los Angeles, California. NewJerseyStage.com previewed the upcoming 2017 season at Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey, which will include Merchant of Venice and A Midsummer Night's Dream in Madison, New Jersey. The News Virginian covered the announcement by the American Shakespeare Center in Staunton, Virginia, of their 2017-18 season, which will include Much Ado About Nothing, Love's Labor's Lost, Henry VI Part 3, which they're calling The Fall of King Henry, plus Macbeth, Taming of the Shrew, Hamlet, and Richard II. I would call that a full slate. The Oregon Arts Watch ran a nice think piece on the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's Play On initiative, which aims to create commissioned updates or rewrites of the entire canon. Author and scholar James Shapiro calls it a deal with the devil, to which I say, lighten up, Francis. It's not like OSF is going to put these on in place of the originals, so just slow your roll, people. The New Orleans Times-Picayune previewed the then-upcoming but now past Tyrants and Fools, Shakespeare for the Inauguration, a night of scenes and monologues that speak to the apprehension many in the New Orleans theater community feel under the presidency of newly elected President Trump. Patch ran the announcement by Shakespeare in Detroit of their 2017 season, including Henry V, Hamlet, and Taming of the Shrew. The Boston Globe ran a piece discussing an enlarged role for the Commonwealth Shakespeare Company in Boston, Massachusetts, with a new season that includes Julius Caesar and Our American Hamlet, which is about Edwin Booth. The Augusta Free Press ran the announcement by the American Shakespeare Center of their 2017-18 season, including Much Ado About Nothing, Love's Labor's Lost, The Fall of King Henry, Henry VI Part 3, Macbeth, Taming of the Shrew, Hamlet, and The Life and Death of Richard II in Staunton, Virginia. And if that sounds familiar, I read a story just from a different media outlet just before. The National Review ran a nice little think piece on Shakespeare's view on politics. The Hometown Station previewed the upcoming Shakespeare and Love Night of Theater and Romance coming up for one night only, during the St. Valentine's Day weekend presented by the Santa Clarita Shakespeare Festival in Southern California. The Chicago Tribune previewed the upcoming production of As You Like It by PM&L Theater in Antioch, Illinois. The 1960s production will run from January 21st through February 12th. The Bromsgrove Advertiser in the UK ran a piece previewing the upcoming Roman-themed season at the Royal Shakespeare Company, including Julius Caesar as well as Antony and Cleopatra, both running March through September, Titus Andronicus, June through September, and Coriolanus, dates to be announced. The plays will run in Stratford-upon-Avon with cinema broadcasts. The Tampa Bay Times reviewed As You Like It by Jobsite Theater, running through February 5th in Tampa Bay, Florida, calling the production a sprawling, sometimes contemporary version of the comedy, which, as the title implies, contains a little something for everyone. The New York Times reviewed the Phyllida Lloyd-directed production of The Tempest, running through mid-February in New York City, saying that this is the most entertaining Tempest the reviewer has ever seen. I Am New York also reviewed the all-female production, set in a women's prison, giving it 3 of 4 stars. And finally, Cincinnati.com reviewed the production of Henry VI, The War of the Roses, Part 2, by the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, running through February 11th in Ohio, calling it a wonderfully over-the-top piece of theater. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On January 17th, 38 BCE, Octavian, nephew to Julius Caesar, married his third and final wife, Livia Drusilla. Octavian, or Octavius, was a character in both Julius Caesar and Antony and Cleopatra, and Livia was a killer character, literally, in Robert Graves's I, Claudius. On January 18th, 1486, Henry VII married Elizabeth of York. This marriage joined the two warring houses of Lancaster and York, and their two emblems, the red rose and the white rose respectively, joined and combined to create the Tudor rose. On January 19th, 1419, the French city of Rouen surrendered to Henry V during his second French campaign. This defeat of the French forced Charles VI to sign the Treaty of Troyes, marrying his daughter Catherine to Henry and declaring Henry V King of France upon Charles's death. Of course, Henry would predecease Charles, but that's a whole nother tetralogy. On January 20th, 1382, King Richard II married Anne of Bohemia, daughter of the Holy Roman Emperor. Richard was 15, she was 16. Their marriage would be childless, and she would die of the plague 12 years later. On January 21st, 1950, George Orwell died, famous for 1984 and Animal Farm. He was also the author of a 1947 critical essay, Lear, Tolstoy, and The View, which dismantled Tolstoy's own criticism of Shakespeare and King Lear. On January 22nd, 1371, Robert II of Scotland was born. Robert is a seventh-generation ancestor of James VI of Scotland, who was also James I of England. And if that wasn't enough, he is, according to legend, a descendant on his father's side of Fleance and Banquo from the play Macbeth. On January 23rd, 1976, American actor Paul Robeson died of complications from a stroke at the age of 77. His 1943 Broadway run of Othello is the longest-running production of the play starring an African-American to ever appear on Broadway, and was called by Michael Morrison the high point of Shakespeare in the 20th century. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending January 23rd, 2017. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.